You ever wonder why we even need the Church of Jesus Christ? And if it is so important, why are there so many problems and messes in the church? I'd like to invite you to the West Coast Bible Conference called the Corinthianization of the Church, where we look at the problems that happened and that Paul addressed in first century Corinth. We're going to be taking this up on April 1 and 2 in Carlsbad, California. I will be speaking at the conference, Pastor Danny Hyde and Dr. Lee Gaddis. This is through the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. You can register now at alliancenet.org. Again, alliancenet.org. Or you can call 1-800-488-1888. Again, 1-800-488-1888. We would love to see you at the conference. If you're a regular listener to Abounding Grace Radio, I would love to meet you. We have an exciting conference planned where we're going to deal with issues such as celebrity pastors, sexual morality, communion chaos, spiritual gifts, and the resurrection. This is such an important conference for our day. If you're in this area, this is right in Carlsbad at the Carlsbad Community Church, do please join us for this conference. Again, the Corinthianization of the Church, April 1 and 2 in Carlsbad, California. We would love to see you there. Visit again to register for the conference at alliancenet.org.
Contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. What do you think of, dear listener, when you hear the word Sabbath? Do you think Seventh-day Adventist? Do you think the Sabbath is something that still should be observed among Christians? What about it being called the Lord's Day? In other words, should we be giving one day in seven? Christians have historically done this on Sunday. Should we be devoting a day unto the worship and rest as was given in the fourth commandment? We're going to look at this great issue today. Why did God give the fourth commandment? And when he gave the fourth commandment to the nation of Israel, why did he point back to creation as this to be normative for all of those made in his image? We're going to look at all this today, taking up the issue of the fourth commandment and why we should honor the Sabbath day. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. Find us on Facebook. Call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We'd love to hear from you. We're so thankful you take time to tune in to Abounding Grace. Today is on the rest that God has given you. God, dear listener, desires to give his people rest. Is that a bad thing? The true reality is we want to exert our own wills when God has something so much better intended for us, that this rest, this day of rest he's given to us, anticipates what we're going to celebrate in eternal glory. This today is on the fourth commandment, and we hope that Abounding Grace Radio helps you to work through this issue that you may bring glory to God in your life. Thanks for tuning in today to the program.
It's really the commandment that is surrounded with controversy, isn't it, in our day? It's the one commandment that people really struggle with. Engage someone about Sunday or even the word Sabbath, and you will soon find yourself into a big debate of whether it really should be a part of the Christian life. Should we really be holding this day of rest and setting it apart from other days? And probably you'll find yourself in some kind of heated discussion over this issue. Understanding Sunday as a Sabbath set apart to our Lord is really utterly foreign to many Christians today. You remember 1981, that Oscar-winning movie Chariots of Fire came out, and that told the story of Eric Liddell, the British runner who in the 1924 Olympics refused to run on Sunday because that would be breaking the Sabbath. Rarely do you hear a story like that anymore today in our society. Occasionally it comes up. There was a rugby player, Ewan Murray, in Scotland a few years ago who announced that he would no longer be playing on Sundays out of his commitment to the Christian Sabbath. And we in the States sort of say, are you kidding? Do you really set aside sporting events to go and do that? In my time in Southern California, years ago, when I was attending seminary, I used to drive from Temecula to seminary when we lived out in Temecula, and I was accustomed to listen to all the local radio call-in programs. There was a big one down here. And every now and then, this issue would come up. And does the fourth commandment stand today? Is it really something that we should be doing? Are we commanded like Israel to keep the Sabbath unto the Lord our God? And the same answer always came back. Inevitably, no, 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 no. Christ fulfilled the Sabbath. And therefore, you are no longer under any obligation to honor it. Every day is a Sabbath day now. That's the typical view. Every day is set apart to the Lord, so that there really now is no day special and set apart ultimately for the people of God that you should honor, that you should keep. Christ has abolished that. And so many Christians today, in practice, really do functionally believe in 9 out of 10 commandments. They, of course, would say you shouldn't murder, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't commit adultery. But when it comes to this one, for some reason, this one gets the pass. Now, that should trouble us somewhat because we would say adamantly that the New Testament does address the fourth commandment. A few weeks ago, we looked at Jesus' dealing of it and expected to recover what had been lost in the Sabbath for the people of God. That he made the Sabbath was made for man to enjoy, and that there were benefits that were to be derived from this as God intended for his people. So it seems problematic then that our Lord would lay this seventh, this 7-day rest pattern before us. 6 days you work and then you rest the seventh at creation of the world to imitate him. We're going to look at all this. Commanded as part of his moral law by even writing it on stone for his people, promising to take that same law, write it on the hearts of his new covenant people, and then expect nothing of its observance among redeemed Christians. That would be a really astonishing thing to say when he's written that law now on our hearts. It's a striking claim. And again, like the second, we're faced with the very important question as to whether it's still required. Is it right or is it wrong? Should we be observing it? Is the fourth commandment something that still has a place? And that's what we're looking at tonight. Was the Sabbath only for Old Testament Israel? What was different? You probably were stunned reading that passage in Numbers tonight of how hard that passage sounds with regard to the Sabbath. And then, of course, reading as R. Heidelberg has captured it, how festive it was described. I want to deal a little bit with that for a moment. These are, of course, important questions, but what I want to do is look at the commandment from the Old Covenant as Israel received it with Moses, with the goal of looking at the ultimate intention of the Sabbath from creation, showing what Christ has, of course, freed us to now enjoy. But before we begin, notice here the fourth commandment itself says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. And then it goes on to specify that everyone in the household is not to work. I believe it's rightly been said that the value and delight that you place in your life on honoring the fourth commandment will tell a lot about your convictions and your spirituality and how much you value the rest of God's law. It is a kind of test for the rest of the law. And that, of course, should be the desire of the redeemed Christian. Think about Sabbath discussions in our day. Where do Sabbath discussions always go? It's always about, now maybe not in Southern California, but at least it was for me up north. It's always about whether you could mow your lawn on Sunday. That seemed to be the extent of Sabbath discussion, what we can't or what we can't do. We've had this same sort of approach to looking at this. We look at this in the old, and we read this, and we think, okay, well, this is just about the list here, the rules, and God has somehow hemmed us in with the laws and the rules, and doesn't this prove that? Doesn't this prove the very thing that people criticize us for? I mean, the man was just out picking up sticks, and he gets stoned for that? Are you kidding me? We're in 2016. And you see, we have two sort of options in looking at this. We say, well, like some have done in history, that's the God of the Old Testament. He's mean, and the God of the New Testament is nice, and therefore we don't want to mess with the God of the Old Testament. We just want to talk to the God of the New Testament. Some have taken that approach. Or we try to bring into view our Sabbath keeping with the same rigor of the Old Covenant and consequence. Maybe not stoning, but at least the rigor. So that either way, you're going to end up as a legalist or an antinomian on whatever side you pick. But we do have to look at this for a moment, and this is why I wanted to do it, as part of the Old Covenant. What should we answer? Why was the Lord so serious about the Sabbath? That's the question you should be asking in the Old Covenant. We have to understand what the Sabbath was commanding. In the commandment itself, you'll notice that God says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heavens and earth, the seas and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day." So he rooted this particular commandment all the way back at the time of creation, and this pattern of work and rest rooted in creation, it was a creation ordinance that was to be normative for life. Genesis 2:1 said, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which had been done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done." God rested. God rested. And we find that as he looked over in his rest, his created work and all that he had done, he delighted in that work. He took great delight in the work of his hands. And we know that that end of creation was for the glory of God. This resting told us that the work had been completed and that he was glorified. This work-rest pattern was established. And then, of course, and we know in the sixth day, in the making of man, that he created us in his image, that we might image him in this work-rest pattern. And that's exactly what happened throughout and what God desired throughout history. God said, "Fill the earth and subdue it." On the seventh day, God rested. The Lord taught the people they were to rest. The implications of that are huge. They were patterning the work-rest pattern of God himself. Now, if you recognize that this was rooted in creation, that this was a normative pattern that God had set up from the beginning, we have to recognize that this principle of one and seven was something that he had established for the benefit of man. What was the Sabbath calling us to do? Take a few verses for a minute. Isaiah 58. "If you turn your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words," listen to this, "then you shall delight yourself in the Lord." Consequence. "And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken." The Sabbath was intended to be something in which we would be able to delight ourselves in him. An opportunity, a day, set apart to be focused. I want to propose to you three reasons for the Sabbath, actually four, as I look at this, the commandment itself and what goes through Israel. One has been presented to you in the commandment itself. It's rest and refreshment. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and that your son of your female servant and stranger, this is Exodus 23:12, may be refreshed. God knows you need that. God knows you need refreshment. It's for your own good. It extends to your servants. You don't want people working on the Sabbath. What this means is that you are to rest from your ordinary labors And we shouldn't do those things that would fill our time that we do working the other 6 days of the week. So, but part of the Sabbath, and the Lord knew this, a great benefit of the Sabbath was that you actually would rest your bodies. He cared about that. He wanted you refreshed and your bodies rested. Think about that blessing for a moment. How much do people, how many problems do people have? I wonder how much stress and tension and health problems because they're not laying hold of the Sabbath. They're running themselves ragged. God knows we need that. Second, the day was ordained as a means for God's people to worship Him, to praise Him, to be unhindered from all the activities of that fill your work week. If I went through and said, how well did you do in really communing with your Lord throughout the course of the week and all of your busyness of your weeks? How much did you really sit down and read your Bibles and do your devotions? How much did you really pray to the Lord? You probably did not do as well as you wanted. And the psalm, one psalm designated for the Sabbath that we sang before this sermon, the song for the Sabbath, speaks about the blessings of flourishing in the courts of the Lord on the Sabbath day, enjoying the Lord on the Sabbath day, receiving from the Lord a day of rest and convocation and fellowship and assembly together as the people of God. Leviticus speaks of this. Numbers would give in chapters 28 descriptions on bringing offerings to the Lord. They would have readings and prayers, scripture exhortations. We find this in the time of Jesus when he's entering in on the Sabbath in the synagogue. The point is, it was set aside not only as a day of rest, but as a day of worship and of praise and enjoyment as a community, bringing offerings, encouraging one another, stirring one another up, Hebrews, to good works. Third, the Sabbath was instituted as a covenantal sign that you are set apart from the world. Listen to Exodus 31. Surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it's a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I set you apart. That's why we're here today. We're set apart. There's a visual of this, set apart to God. You think in Genesis, early on, it says that men began to gather together and call upon the name of the Lord. There was Sabbathing going on. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Why? He goes on to say, for in 6 days the Lord made heavens and the earth, the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. It's a perpetual thing I want you to keep, he said. So not only was it for refreshment, not only should you do it because the Lord your God did it at creation, left you a pattern to imitate, not only because it's a holy day with which you should worship and enjoy him, but it's also a sign that you belong to him. It encourages you that he's meeting with you and has set you apart. Well, that's not enough. There's another reason I found for the Sabbath. Deuteronomy 5. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. Listen to verse 15. And remember that you were a slave in Egypt, in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Why then the Sabbath? The Sabbath functioned as a celebration of the gospel ministry. The Sabbath was always a reminder to them of redemption. They were pulled out from their slavery, their past. We know it all typified slavery and bondage to sin. And it was a reflection of the marvelous deliverance where they passed through the sea, where he drowned Pharaoh and his armies, where they came through victorious on the other side. I brought you out of there. I want a whole day for you because I know how busy you are and I know how hard it is out there. I want you to come together and you remember my love for you. It's the intention. Rest, refreshment. Get to imitate and pattern your Creator, a day for spiritual worship, a day to praise and honor Him, a day to encourage your brethren, a day of a sign that sets you apart from the world, that you're not of the world, that you don't belong to the world, that you belong to the kingdom of heaven. It's the Synod of Dort. Let me sum it up. Let me sum it up tonight. The Sabbath is an opportunity for you to rest and to love your God with all your time. To love your God with all your time. Doesn't it show and say something that the Lord went to all this care to explain that he's giving this command to be a blessing for his people? Doesn't it show how alienated in the heart we are from God? That he gives us this festive day of delight in him, and we will do all we can to take a break from him. We will do all we can to not have to do this. Jay Dalma said, someone who wants to keep control of his own affairs would experience the interruption of his daily duties on the Sabbath as a hindrance. That is so good. Dalma's right. True joy means we have to be able, and true observance is that we're letting go of the ordinary concerns when the Lord's day comes. And it's the best thing for us. It's joy. Dalma says it presupposes that we enjoy other people. It requires the mutual encouragement among the saints, a day for communion of the saints, a day for the covenantal sign that we are giving. Think of the witness to our neighbors of coming and gathering together. Think of that simple witness of coming and gathering together out from the world as the people of God. I remember growing up, and there was always our neighbors watching us drive off to church. That was a good thing. That was a good thing. We wanted to invite them, and we did. Dalma says this enjoyment, this festive Sabbath, requires that we devote Sunday to God. It's a day for worship, prayer, and praising God. Now, we just considered in Mark's gospel, Jesus walking through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and he was accused for breaking the Sabbath, for plucking heads of grain when his disciples were hungry. What was in his heart? Pure love. Pure love for God. Pure love for man. And he had come to fulfill this. And fulfilling that for us, giving us that rest, becoming our rest. He is our Sabbath. He then gives back to us, set in freedom, having a righteousness from him, the blessing of its original intention in the new covenant. I want us to understand that. What was Jesus constantly doing? Well, he was fixing the original intention of things in the Gospels. Think about divorce. Divorce happens. Pharisees were divorcing for any reason. A man could put away his wife for any reason because of, under the old covenant, the hardness of their hearts. Heart problem. Moses had to write certificates of divorce. And what did Jesus say? From the beginning, that was not so. Not God's design. What do we have here? From the beginning, the same is true from the Sabbath. The Sabbath was always intended to be a blessing, and our sin wrecked it. Our sin wrecked the design. And Jesus came to fulfill it, pay for our sins, give us righteousness, and recover the blessing of it. That's the beauty of this. So that our Heidelberg has a whole different feel in the celebration of it, doesn't it? What does God require of you? That the gospel be maintained. The ministry of the gospel in schools be maintained. On this day of rest, that I attend worship, is it a burden to come up to the house of the Lord? Is it a burden to come and enjoy him? That I, listen to this, diligently attend church to hear God's word. What have we been emphasizing so much in Mark 4? Hearing God's word. To use the sacraments. What are sacraments? Signs and seals of grace to you. This is his gospel promises being illustrated. He's wanting to help and encourage and strengthen you. to call publicly on the Lord. We get to come together and as a body call upon him, and he hears our prayers and strengthens us going out into a new week. We get to give offerings for the poor. We don't really take that as seriously as we should. Think of the blessing of that. You get to put in and give offerings to all these hurting people, and God establishes a church and gives deacons to serve to determine best how to use your monies, that we would help people. That's part of the encouragement and helping people. And that all the days of my life, I'm being taught to rest from my evil works, the Lord working in me through his Holy Spirit. And so begin, think of this beautiful statement, begin in this life the eternal rest. If you don't like it now, what do you think eternity is? Eternal rest. And think of the glory of this thought, that in the old covenant, they had to work 6 days and then rest. In the new covenant, we gather on a different day for this reason. That what? They had to work 6 days and then rest. We rest, hearing of all the grace and strength and gospel of Jesus Christ, and then go out and work. Why? Because we're free. You're free. You're free in his death and resurrection. I hope that gives you a more positive treatment tonight of the Sabbath. There's so much more to say, but I hope it encourages you to set apart this day of rest, anticipating the eternal day of rest. It's his desire to refresh you, to help you, to strengthen you. It's a sign that you belong to him, that you've been redeemed. Enjoy it. We say, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God. What is the hardest thing that we have to do? To just enjoy him. And this is an opportunity for you to do that. All anticipating a day when you will actually see your Savior face to face.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in his abounding grace.